Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's historic export surge. The participants are Jayanta Roy Chaudhary, economic analyst, and Sonu Sood, anchor.
According to the latest RBI data, in a significant milestone for India's international trade, total Indian exports surged to a historic high of $824.9 billion in the financial year 2024-25, a 6.01% jump from previous year's $778.1 billion. To discuss this surge in Indian exports, what it says about the Indian economy's resilience and the road ahead, we have with us economic expert Jayanta Roy Chaudhary. Warm welcome to you, Jayanta, on Akashvani.
Thank you, Sonu.
Jayanta, these heartening figures which have been released by RBI regarding Indian exports having touched a new high record, they have crossed $800 billion. How do you see these figures? What do they say about the Indian economy's resilience, especially given the uncertainty in the global trade environment right now?
There were two uncertainties. One, of course, is the Trump tariff. We know about it. From November onwards, he's been threatening, and that has really disturbed global trade patterns. That's one. The other is that both the European economy and the US economy, as well as, for that matter, the Japanese economy, have actually been not in the negative territory per se, but they were not doing all that well. So there was this chance of, their growth actually declining, going into negative territory. So there was that problem was there for some time now. So our export effort, merchandise export effort, has been consequently really been caught up. If you notice, the figures are great. Almost $821 billion of export services and merchandise. But the real growth has been in services. We have made about $380 billion of money out of services exposed.
So as you very rightly pointed out, that the services exports, they are continuing to drive the growth momentum, and they grew at 13.6%. Can you decode this for us? Why do you think Indian services exports are growing at this fast pace? And do you feel that services will continue to relatively outpace manufacturing in terms of exports growth?
I think it will continue to do so, at least for the next 2 years, because Trump tariffs has not died out. I mean, the threat is there and we don't know what's going to really happen. And USA hasn't posted great growth results, and it's our biggest market. So services exports will continue to drive us. Why is services exports doing so well? Frankly, because we have managed. We were earlier basically very basic level service exporters. We were selling software. We were doing BPO work, etc., etc. Now we are doing a little bit of value addition. We are getting into fintech. We are going to be coding into AI, other areas. Defense technology, the software that you need for that, that's being done by us. So these are extremely value-added items that we are selling, and that is where our profits are coming in. These are niche areas, but they increase your volume of trade by a lot, and your profitability really increases. So that's what has been happening. That's what has been driving us. Hopefully, that will continue to drive us. If you look at our merchandise exports, there is always a rainbow at the end of any dark cloud. The rainbow is five things, really. Engineering goods, which has done very well. It's grown by just 6.7%, but it's grown despite this headwinds, and we have made about $117 billion of it or so. Auto components, we did well. $21.2 billion, 5.5% growth. Electronics has been the best story. It's 32.5% growth, registering about $38.6 billion. But RMG, because Bangladesh made a self-goal, they threw out Sheikh Hasina's government and the new government came. There were mobs all over the place, chaos, factories got burnt. They were unable to, do the orders which had been given to them just ahead of Christmas. So many of those orders came to us. So we did well. We registered a 10% plus growth. RMG of all textiles sold about $16 billion worth of goods, which is good. So hopefully we'll be able to get some more orders from there. Drugs and pharmaceuticals, which was kind of tapering off because a lot of people were getting into the same space, generic drugs. A lot of companies, even the African countries, were getting into it. But still, we managed to do well, 9.4%, $30.5 billion. So that's really, really, really good news for us.
Thank you so much for taking us through these sectors which have played a vital role in this surge. And even though the traditional verticals like, RMG, ready-made garments and handicrafts are still key exports of India because they are labor intensive intensive also. But now, as you have said, we have made significant inroads in high-tech sectors like electronics, engineering, pharma. So you feel that the Indian export basket is steadily showing an upgrade over the years?
It's changing. Instead of selling tobacco and rice and, you know, stuff like that, jute, we are now selling much more value-added goods, and I hope that will continue. Even in RMG, we have to really target high-end RMG goods, ready-made garments, instead of the routine ones which we make, cheap shirts, cheap skirts, etc. We should make higher value-added things. We should try and create labels of our own. India should have own labels so that it sells, you know. So we should get into that kind of an area. That is what we need to do. And we have to diversify our markets in a big, big way. We have to go into Africa in a bigger way. We have to go into Latin America in a bigger way. We have to, since our neighborhood is troubled, so we have to concentrate on Southeast Asia in that case.
So export diversification, both geographically and in terms of product lines, has to continue,
which we have seen in the last... If we are making garments, we have to get into specialty garments. We have to get into not only high-label garments, but we have to get into things like the kind of garments that are worn by, let's say, sailors, let's say, firemen. We should get into that.
So, Jayanto, what do you think are the strategic government policy measures that have driven this surge in exports, which have, you know, taken us to a historic high? You feel that Make in India, Make for the World mission of the Indian government has yielded positive results?
The PLI has helped. It has brought in a lot of companies. Apple has come in a big way into India. The other thing is that Look East and then, Act East policy, that has driven our exports to a large extent. The other thing is embassies have become much more geared to trade diplomacy. But now we need to sell. And to sell, we need to use our trade representatives, our embassies, our consulates, and that's been happening since liberalization began. And I think embassies have now realized that trade diplomacy has taken center stage. That is, earlier it was a sideline in the diplomatic business. Now it is the center stage. That is big. It's really big. Even culture, we are selling culture in a big way. We are selling designs in a big way. And those are big money spinning, you know, events. They are big, big money spinners. If we are talking about services, we only talk about software. We have to sell other insurance products, shipping, culture. Culture is sold. Designs are sold. Designing is sold in a big way by the world. We have to get into that space.
What is the role of MSMEs in Indian exports? It is being said now that thanks to digitization, thanks to e-commerce, there are hubs connecting SMEs and artisans to global markets. So how do you see this whole space, becoming more vibrant and more lucrative thanks to the digitization and the use of technology?
See, MSMEs was always the big thing in exports. I mean, they drive exports, frankly speaking, and most of the jobs are created by them. The problem that was happening was the big guys were inching them out. And digitization, or rather the entry of e-commerce, gives them a platform. So frankly, the way out is to help them organize. We have to have confederations of them which actually work. So we have to encourage our small guys to get together instead of just being appendages to big players.
The role of cooperative model, you feel that has a lot of scope.
Cooperative by a different name, because these are companies. These are not, you know, farmers. It's not a farming company, cooperation. So maybe a confederation, whatever you want to call them. You set them up, you get them to organize themselves and see to it that they are able to get onto the world global stage. It's easier now because you have all these digital platforms. You can even use social media to sell your stuff. There are people who are selling, people from Uttarakhand, who are selling their specialized rices, their specialized drinks on the social media, and they are selling it, exporting it.
In fact, ease of doing business has been given a lot of fillip with more than 42,000 compliances which have been reduced. 3,800 provisions have been decriminalized. How do you see the international trade order and Indian exports being impacted by Trump trade tariffs in the coming days?
Ease of business, we have tried to improve. But Sonu, we have to negotiate. I think we have done a good job in negotiating with Trump and USA. We have not really bowed down totally. And yet at the same time, we have not been aggressive like China. So there is no fight. There's no spat going on between us and the US. We are actually talking to try and get in early harvests by, say, maybe as early as by Independence Day, 15th of August or something like that. So if we manage to do that, then we will be amongst the first people to have a trade deal with the USA, which is speaking a lot because they are tough negotiators So if that is done, then that's a big, big thing because USA will remain our big market. Even if we diversify, we will diversify and we need to diversify. But the point is we need to do this. This is an important thing, the US trade deal. And after that, we need to do link up the other two trade deals which have been in the running for a long, long time. The EU-India deal, we call it SEPA, but actually it's some kind of a free trade deal. The other is the Indo-India-UK deal, which again, we have a sweet spot because these guys want to have a deal with us right now. Because they are in difficulty with the US. They want to have a good deal with a growing economy, which is India. So let's take that advantage. Let's go ahead with it and finish it off. Instead of being bargainers, you know, we should look at the big picture and make a deal with these guys quickly so that we can get some moolah back into India.
So would you say that the consistent stress on quality and affordable costing has been a crucial factor in success story of Indian
exports? Absolutely.
Export.
It's a very important thing because unless and until you can give quality production, you will not be able to sell abroad or you will end up earning a bad name for yourself. One of the first things that the Japanese did when they started trying to export after the Second World War was to insist that the Meitei, their industry ministry, sees to it that every item exported out of Japan was of very high quality. They did not mind if their own people bought products which were of a lower quality, but the best products had to be exported. That is what we have to ensure. When we sell tea, we should sell the best teas abroad. So these things, this quality insistence is very important. Even though a lot of confederations, including MSME confederations, have opposed it and they have said that you should relax it for us, etc., etc. I don't think there is a need to relax it. We need to insist and stick to high quality standards. Other than that, we will never be able to be world beaters in the export game.
Jindu, what are the government efforts that are being done and we can expect them in the coming challenging times to help out exporters in various ways, especially logistics?
You will be happy to know that our ports have actually started doing extremely well. The tonnage which they have been exporting has really increased in a big way. Every single port has improved its turnaround time. India was earlier notorious. 6 days it used to take for a ship to unload and take on fresh cargo. That has gone now. Every port from Kolkata port to Paradip to Vizag to Bombay, to Cochin, and then to Gujarat Kandla port, everyone has really improved. Their metric tonnage has improved. Their turnaround time has improved. And the best part is that the Indian Railways has managed to link up through high-speed freight corridors all these ports to major production centers. So it takes much less time for a good to be produced somewhere and then shipped to the port and then from the port to be shipped anywhere in the world. That's one thing. Other than that, we have encouraged an cargo aviation policy, which has seen many more new cargo aeroplanes being brought into India, many more cargo airlines flying into India and doing business from here. So that has really radically changed the entire scenario from India. India is now a hub. When we stopped Bangladesh from re-exporting from India, it actually hurt them a lot because India had become such a hub. Their exports, instead of going through Chittagong port, were going through our airports. So this is a big thing. I hope Nepal, Bhutan, etc. are able to take that facility that we are giving to be able to become export hubs in their own right. The other thing is that there is a competitive spirit. There's an animal spirit among states. They are trying to come up with export incentives. Look at the way the three southern states, Telangana, Andhra and Karnataka, are competing with each other to see to it that the real Silicon Valley of India is in there within their territories. The amount of incentives they are giving, the amount of work that they are doing, infrastructure, it's phenomenal. Jharkhand, it has come up with a new textile policy which has encouraged big players to shift base from Gujarat to Jharkhand to produce their textiles there. This is phenomenal. This kind of spirit, it's not just the center which is doing a fantastic job, but it's the states which are on their own imbibing it. They're trying to help out exporters. This, I think, is the future of Indian exporters' effort.
So with concerted efforts on all fronts is what you're saying, India is poised to not only sustain but also accelerate its export momentum. Thank you so much for this discussion, Jayanto.
Thank you, Sonu.
You were listening to a discussion on India's historic export surge. The participants were Jayanta Roy Chaudhary, economic analyst, and Sonu Sood, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on a YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.